feel like myself anymore. I'm like a lost key in the kitchen drawer, just waiting for someone to show me to the door. But onwards and upwards, baby.
Hey up, my name's Ben, and you're listening to File 37 of the YYY Files. This file belongs to someone I've known personally for years, yet I'm never not surprised by quite how big of a Stoke fan she is. Some of you think, with the surname she has, that it'd be in her blood. Well, it's not quite in the way that you might think, but we're going to find out about her story today. Alicia Coates, how are you?
Hello, I'm good.
Yeah.
I like that intro.
Thank you. Well, I try and work hard on the intros, just to make people blush before they even start speaking.
I wish I was related to the Coates family.
Well, this is
it. Balling it in.
I was just going to ask, you are not related to the Coates family, are you?
I am not, unfortunately. Well, I don't know. Maybe I could be.
You could be.
Maybe I'll have to get a family tree out and start mapping it.
You could be. This would be great, because then the clickbait for this podcast will be completely justified.
I can get my own little, like, private booth at the stadium.
Private booth at the stadium.
Yeah.
Oof, I don't think anybody would want to be watching. Well, no one can watch it at the moment. No one's watching it. We're all watching it from the telly. Oh, sad times. Oh, well, we'll be back there one day. Instead, you've got to put up with crap like this.
Passing the time.
Yeah, well, exactly right. Passing the time. Oh. Anyway, for those of you that don't know, the YYY Files are Stoke City stories, and they're told by you. Without people like Lish, the files just couldn't be possible. That's why I'm asking for you to share your story too. If you want to appear on the show, like Lish and create your file, head to the website and click create your file. That's the YYYFiles.com, or on all social media at the YYY Files, or email the YYYFiles@mail.com. All those links are in the podcast description. So Lish, my first question, as always on this podcast, why are you a Stoke fan? And I want to know from the beginning.
The main reason I am a Stoke fan is because of my dad.
Yeah, that's not uncommon.
Yeah, he has always been a Stoke fan. He went to games when he was younger, and then that's just sort of been kind of pushed onto me. But, you know, I love it. I'm not going to moan about it. So, yeah, he took me to all the games whilst I was younger. Just shoved me sort of like, that's your team, you know, you're going to follow it. But also living in Trentham as well, that's where I grew up. It only takes me about 25 minutes to walk along the canal to the, it was the Britannia Stadium. The Bet365. So it was literally on my doorstep. Like, the amount of times that I've gone for walks past it, or runs when I've got older, or cycling, it's just there. So it is literally my local team.
I can hear people like Chirag in South Africa who are screaming, screaming at their phones, because you're so close to the stadium and yet they're thousands of miles away. It's such a shame. But then it's great for you, right? Obviously, as you said.
Yeah, it's great for games. I never have to go on that terrible car park.
Oh my God.
Queue or leave a game early just to get out of the stadium. Yeah, it's just walking distance, so it's no problem.
Yeah. So what was your first game?
My first game was Stoke City versus Bournemouth. I can't remember whether it was the year 2000 or 2001.
Okay.
So yeah, that was my first game. I went with my mum and dad. Now, you'd think that I would be supporting Stoke all the way through it, seeing as, you know, that's my local team. That's what my dad pushed me to do. But Bournemouth was always our family vacation. I think the game was in like September time, and we'd just come back from a holiday in Bournemouth. So about halfway through the game, I just started supporting Bournemouth because I was like, I love Bournemouth, and they were losing. Stoke were winning. So I kind of felt sorry for them. And I was like, yay, come on, Bournemouth. I think my dad was like, sorry,
mortified.
No, you're sitting in the Stoke area. Shut up. But it was like, that was my first game, first ever football game. So I didn't really know what was going on. You know, I was like 5 or 6.
Oh, okay.
I don't understand the rules. It's just like Stoke v Bournemouth.
The blokes in red and then the other blokes who aren't playing in red, but normally play in red, and you're cheering them on instead.
Just feeling sorry for them. I think we won like 2-0 or 2-1, something like that.
Oh, well. I mean, happy days in hindsight. Maybe not for you at the time. But
I was just learning my way into football.
Yeah, that's fair. What were your memories from that game? Do you remember the atmosphere?
It was packed. I remember there was a lot of people around me.
Yeah.
And it was cold.
It's always cold.
Yeah. I remember putting my gloves on at some point.
Yeah. Yeah.
And having sweets, my mum ensured that she brought sweets with me to keep me occupied.
Oh, well, yeah, because the game on its own is never enough, is it?
Not when you're five.
No, I suppose not. That's very true. So I'm assuming after that you become a Bournemouth fan then.
No, I stuck with Stoke. I think what's continued me on being a Stoke fan, other than the fact that my dad was one and I lived not too far from the stadium, was so obviously my primary school was in Trentham. I went to Ash Green, and we had a lot of involvement from the community sort of side of Stoke City. So people would come in, we'd have like the penalty shootout, raising money for charity. So Stoke was always quite heavily involved with my primary school. So, you know, that was like the only team to me sort of like growing up, mm-hmm. in a way. So I just followed through with it.
So Stoke went to your school then?
Like, not the entire Stoke team.
No. I think that will be a little bit weird.
That'd be amazing.
Your school ready for a game. Like, oh, this isn't Stevenage. Who the hell are these kids?
But yeah, I think it must have been like every single year we'd have a penalty shootout, raising money for either Donna Louise Trust or the Dougie Mac. Potamus would always make an appearance.
Oh yeah,
and
good lad Potamus.
Yeah, I remember like three or four goals were sat out on the playground. Potamus was always in one of them, so like you were lucky if you got to sort of do a penalty shootout against him.
Yeah.
I remember like when I got to like year six, sort of understand a bit more that they're not taking it that serious. They want you to get like 5 out of 5 goals.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was getting them in unless my target was off.
Well, and as a young person, I can quite imagine that was the case.
Yeah, I never got 5 out of 5.
Oh, well, you might have been playing for the Stoke Academy if you could have got 5 and 5, to be fair.
I think Potamus, I was up against him once, and I just remember like the ball, it was very slowly going towards the post, and he just like fell towards it in slow motion. And I was like, This is terrible, but we'll go with it. It's for charity.
Yeah. Well, it's a big boy, Potamus, to be fair. Trying to get past him in goal.
Yeah. I met him as well outside Bargain Boos when I was about 7 years old. Potamus, yeah. I've got a picture with him. I think
what?
I gave him a hug as well. Yeah. I'm not sure what he was doing there.
Buying alcohol, I'm assuming.
too young to understand what was going on. I'm sure it's on Google or something. She Googled it beforehand. But my mum and dad knew about it, and they were like, right, we need to go down to Bargain Boos at like 10:30 so that you could meet him. And I think I was the first out of all the kids to just have a picture with him.
What a random thing to do.
I mean, there was a post office next door to Bargain Boos.
Maybe he was getting stamps as well.
Yeah.
Stamps and booze.
I can't remember what he was doing.
He might have been on the dole at that time. He was collecting his monies and then he was going getting his alcohol.
Getting his wage from Stoke.
Yeah, maybe. See, this is it.
Or maybe we were doing really badly at the time and, yeah, he
was asking for a little bit more. Yeah.
And needed some comfort.
He was posting himself to Madagascar or something. So it was those things that got you into it then?
Yeah. I think it was more the sort of community side rather than actually understanding what football was. I mean, I did start to play a bit of football when I was in primary school. I was a bit of a boyish girl for a bit. So I did enjoy playing football. And yeah, that was another thing as well. I did a few like mini summer schools.
Oh, yeah.
Which Stoke City ran. I was like only me and another girl, loads of lads. But yeah, there was that side to it as well.
God, I remember them. I don't remember doing a summer school. I remember doing a couple of after school ones once. This was back when I was very, very young, infant school. And I was never any good as football as a kid. I'm not very good at football now, truth be told. But I was really, really bad. Didn't have any interest in it. I don't know. That sort of thing, even though I was involved in it, similar to what you were, it never hooked me.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, like, you said it was more of, like, a community feel for you, maybe.
Yeah, I think, like, with the summer schools and stuff, you're sort of in with other kids and doing something.
Mm. And then I suppose you relate those memories to Stoke then, don't you?
Yeah, although I've completely forgot about them.
Well, until now. Young, to be fair.
Yeah.
So what was, like, your experience going to games going forward then? I'm assuming you went to a couple more after that.
Yeah, so I think that was another thing Stoke were very good with at my school. They gave away free tickets probably about like twice a year. It was only limited ones, so you had to really like push to your teacher that I will go this game. I'm a massive Stoke fan. Let me go. So yeah, me and my dad would go on a Saturday if we got free tickets. But I probably started taking matches a bit more seriously at the end of like secondary school. I kind of didn't really follow it that much. Well, I never really followed it that much when I was younger. But yeah, like when I first started secondary school, I wasn't checking Stoke like the other lads in my year would. That probably happened when I turned about 16. I just suddenly got back into it and then wanted to go to games again.
Yeah, to be fair, I was pretty late into football. I think I was probably 13, 14, because I think I started following Stoke properly in 2009, ended 2009, started 2010. So that was quite late on for me.
Yeah.
I'd have been about 14 then. So
That's a lie from me, because I remember when Stoke got promoted to the Premier League.
Yes.
And I had a t-shirt which said like Premier League 08 on the back.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. I went away on the French school trip. And I had it on, like, I've got a few pictures of me.
With that on?
Yeah, like Normandy with the Stoke City Premier League t-shirt on.
Oh, wow, fair play. See, you're getting us about already. Advertising us to the world before we even got promoted to the Premier League properly. I'm assuming you went to Premier League games then after that.
Yeah, I think that is actually when I kind of had the pause thinking about it, because when we were in the Championship, I think Stoke were able to give free tickets away to primary school kids. And then when we got to the Premier League, all of a sudden ticket prices shot up.
Yeah.
So it's quite expensive and I couldn't necessarily afford to go to a lot of games. It was only probably when I started to have a Saturday job and could actually afford
to do it yourself.
To do it myself. That's when I started going again. But it was only like is it category C? I can't remember in the Premier League.
Categories. All teams like Swansea and Norwich and teams like that. All the ones
West
that are
Brom.
West
we
Brom.
We always beat West Brom.
Well, we always used to beat West Brom. Yeah. They're above us now. They're in the different league, for goodness sake.
So I just went to those games.
Yeah.
The only exception, this blows my mind. It was the Liverpool game where we beat them 6-1, the last game of the season. Someone was able to get me some tickets. They were £40. And I was like, well, you know, I've not seen a major Premier League team play against Stoke because it's so expensive. And this is the last game of the season, so let's do it. Had very low expectations. Mm. And then before I know it, there's a goal. There's another goal. There's another goal. And I'm there like, what is going on? Yeah, that's the best game I've ever been to. So lucky that I chose it.
I mean, like, what an amazing game that was. I mean, so many Stoke fans have said that that's their favourite ever game. I can completely see why.
Yeah.
But, like, and for that to be your first big game as well.
Yeah. And then it all went downhill.
Well, that's it. It didn't take long, did it? You started the curse then.
I just loved it because I think I was in my first year at uni when that game was.
Maybe about
to go to uni. I've forgotten the year.
Well, I'm pretty sure that I had a season ticket at that point, so I would have been at university.
Right.
So I think it was probably first year of university or something around that time anyway.
Yeah, there was a few Liverpool fans in my ear, and I was just like, yeah.
Well, I was sat next to one. I think I've told the story in the pub before. My brother is a Liverpool fan. And obviously, it was Steven Gerrard's last game. Me and my dad normally go to games. But because my brother was so keen on seeing Steven Gerrard's last game, he sort of nicked my dad's ticket. He regretted that.
I mean, at least he saw him score.
Oh, he saw him score, bless him. And it was lovely send-off and all that. But 6-1 loss, I think if the world could have swallowed him up, he would. I was elated. It was such a good feeling.
It was just non-stop. I loved it.
I know. I mean,
Brendan Rodgers just off.
Adam Lallana getting himself squared up to Ryan Shawcross, and are you sure, pal? Are you absolutely sure about this? Do you want to step away from the big boy?
Brilliant.
But that team, though, like, you think about the players we had then, like, Nzonzi was just literally flicking balls over Liverpool players' heads, like they weren't even there.
Yeah.
and we didn't have Bojan at the time, but somehow the midfield still worked, and Begovic was a great goalkeeper. That was his last game for Stoke, I believe, as well.
Yeah, I was so sad when he went. I loved him. I thought he was so good.
Yeah, well, I mean, he was. But we've been blessed with goalkeepers over the years. Of course we have.
Have we?
Well,
Butland.
Hey. I think some people got plenty of good things to say about Butland, in fairness to him. Yeah, I think he's had a bit of a dodgy end, but bless him.
He has done some good for us.
He has done some good for us. Some specific good in the Premier League, especially. And it was weird seeing a team at that time that was improving year on year. I mean, I know you said you had a break at that point, but you were still going to some games. And from when we got promoted to the Premier League, this was a side that, for us anyway, as new Stoke fans, Stoke were getting better and better and better.
Yeah. I feel like when Mark Hughes came in, that's when I started to, you know, follow the team properly. Like, that's when I got to the point where I was like, right, downloaded the BBC Sport apps, set my alerts to every single Stoke game.
Oh, that was it, yeah.
I will follow it, yeah.
Because I remember, to be fair, we, like, so people will not know for this podcast, of course, me and Lish, we know each other because we went to college together. And I remember not talking about it a lot, but I do remember talking about Stoke somewhat at college at the time, and this would have been sort of 2012 to 2014, so this was sort of end of Pulis, start of Mark Hughes, that sort of time. And then like throughout that whole period, like, Stoke were just good, pretty consistently good compared to what we're seeing now. I mean, I know that we had the odd moan in the Premier League, and no wonder people like me and you got into it, because it was so exciting. And then I remember at college, you talked about the schools giving away free tickets. I remember at college you could get discounted tickets, and because I didn't have a season ticket at this point, but I always used to go down to the gym at Newcastle College and buy discounted tickets for me and my dad.
I remember now.
You remember that? Yeah, that was good. That was
I think another reason I didn't really go that much matches when I was in college is because I had a Saturday job.
Yes.
Obviously, a lot of the matches were on a Saturday. But because I was so local to the stadium, I was able to go to the midweek games, which you could quite easily can get tickets for, because a lot of people can't make midweek games.
Well, something that we are finding the difficulty of now, I'm sure. I definitely am.
Yeah, it's like swapped now, because I'm living in Nottingham for my job. I can't make any midweek games. No. Well, I could, but I mean, I'd be absolutely exhausted for work the next day.
I completely agree with you. You don't have to justify yourself. I live just about as far from Stoke as you do now, and it's just a pain. You know, as much as I love to see Stoke, sometimes you've got to put your rest first, because it's just an emotional experience getting there, isn't it?
Knackers you out just driving.
It does. But anyway, so you went from this person who was sort of involved in Stoke with schools, getting free tickets here and there, your dad was taking you, and then you were spending your own money watching Stoke. Why? What changed?
I don't really know why all of a sudden I just really got back into it. It's probably because, like, at college, I took quite male-dominated subjects. So we obviously met each other in A-level physics.
We did.
There was like me and another girl in that class, so I was forced to make friends with people like you.
Ooh.
It probably was that, just speaking to guys, and they, you know, follow Stoke, and I was a Stoke fan, but I wasn't a massive Stoke fan to begin with. It just sort of got me back into it. And I think my dad's always sort of wanted to go back and watch matches. So it was like, well, you know, it's quite expensive now being in the Premier League. I can afford my own ticket. Let's go.
Yeah, sort of thing. Yeah, this is the point. And it is just speaking to new people about Stoke. And if you're right, they're so involved because Stoke was so good at the time. You're bound to be hooked in. And we were on about it before recording, actually. Mark Parton, bless him, our old physics teacher, he was a big Stoke fan. Absolutely mental. Mark, if you're listening, you're probably not, but I'd love to come and speak to you. just people like that just sort of got us into it, I think, definitely.
Yeah. I think as well, turning 18 and be able to drink, like,
Ooh,
I quite enjoyed. I love going to the pub and watching a game. Like Boxing Day for me, I love to go down to my local Toby Carvery and watch Soccer Saturday, go through all the games that are going on. I love it.
And like, don't be wrong, that's mental considering, like, you know, you're
I'm a woman.
Well, no, not that. It's just like, you're like,
it's a very old man stereotypical thing.
Well, it
to
is
do.
But like, yeah. you're a young, at the time, a physics student, now, you know, working for the NHS and things like that, and it's just not a very stereotypical thing to do, is it?
Yeah,
it's mental, but it's great, I think, that you've got this sort of other side to you.
Yeah, I think as well at university, like, I had male flatmates, so I was in mixed halls, and they would go down and watch Monday night football. Like, there were some weeks where literally there was a football game on every single night, and yes, I'd be like, yeah, I'll come join you down the SU and we'll have a pint for £2.20, because that's how much it was then.
Oh,
brilliant. Oh, you can't moan at that.
Sad times, no.
And yeah, just watch the football. I remember watching Stoke versus Swansea, and there was like a group of lads on the table next to us who are Swansea fans, and then just me as a Stoke fan, like, with my flatmates who, well, they were going to support Stoke for me, but they weren't going to take it as serious, and we won in the end, and I was just like, yes, but don't make too much of a deal because they might beat me up.
Well, see, I went to university at Loughborough, and I was there the year Leicester won the league. And this is where everyone in and around the neighbouring cities pretended that they were Leicester fans for the season. And I don't think it was the same season. I remember us scoring against Leicester. It was probably the season before where they nearly went down.
Yeah.
And I remember watching Stoke versus Leicester in the pub and doing exactly the same thing that what you said. Stoke scored. And I went, yes! Stood up, and the whole bar just turned around and looked at me. I go, sorry. sorry, didn't realise this was a Leicester pub. No, damn it.
I never had that issue with Nottingham, because obviously Nottingham Forest and Knox County.
That's it, they've got their big rivalry there.
Yeah, but I did have a, not a situation, but obviously when there were the playoffs, Knox Forest were in the playoff position and they were playing Stoke, and we needed to score a certain amount, and I can't remember the other team.
Swansea, wasn't it?
Swansea, yeah. They had to score another amount of goals to deny Forest being in the playoffs, and everyone was like, it's not going to happen. Like, it's very, very slim chance. Like, statistics are not in their favour. And I was in work a few days before, and there's a Notts Forest fan in my department, and he was like, yeah, in the playoffs, we're gonna beat you on this game. And I was like, yeah, okay, that's fine. Like, We're safe. That's all that matters to me. And yeah, we...
He goes and thrashes him.
He thrashes him. And he comes in and he's like, you've cursed it, haven't you?
Yeah.
Maybe.
And they really fell off a cliff. They've sat their manager now.
Yeah.
Mental. Absolutely mental. See, we cursed teams. I'm pretty sure... I'm pretty sure that we broke Bolton Wanderers as well, since we beat them in that cup semi-final. They really fell off a cliff.
5-0 one.
Yeah. Yeah, that 5-0 one. No, I'm talking about the other FA Cup semi-final that we were in, that we beat Bolton. Oh, man.
I remember that. I was at dance rehearsals all day.
Oh, no.
Yeah, my dad was watching it, but I had a dance show coming up, so
see,
I spent the entire Sunday.
I remember you being a ballet dancer as well.
Yeah.
And then again, like I say, you've got this whole different side to you. You've got so many different sides to you. It's so strange, but it's great, honestly.
You make me sound like that character in that James McAvoy film.
Oh, God, Split. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That wasn't me. That was Patricia.
Oh, man. Well, I'll tell you what. I'll ask you for your best and worst experiences as a Stoke fan.
Okay. I think the best is probably that Liverpool game that I went to.
Yeah.
Because I just went in there with such low expectations. Just set the bar low, didn't expect much, but, you know, I was gonna be happy, and then it shocked me. It was just, okay, 1-0, that's great, 2-0, 3-0, okay, we can stop now, and we just didn't, we just carried on, and it was just amazing. And the atmosphere was great, and just to see the Scouse fans just leave the stadium.
Yeah. Oh, say it.
My worst, probably getting relegated from the Premier League.
That sucked.
Just sort of watching us sink.
Well, because that was the first time for us both, I think, where Stoke were bad.
Yeah.
First time they're on a proper downturn, and I wasn't used to it.
Yeah, like, I remember when we got promoted to the Championship. I was only young then, but I remember my mum and a few of her friends who had children in my year at school, we went and stood outside the Toby Carvery in Trenton to watch the open top bus come past. And I remember it was raining and we got photographed. I was in the Sentinel for it and I'm holding up like my friend's Stoke scarf, like, hey, going into the Championship.
Oh, bloody hell.
So there was that. And then obviously we got promoted in 2008 up to the Premier League. So I suppose you've got to come back down at some point.
Well, this
it was
is
a close
true.
Shave last. Close shave last season as well.
Oh God, don't even get
me started. That stressed me out.
Well, I mean, we were bottom of the league in November, weren't we?
Mm. At least we didn't make a documentary.
Well, like, to be
Sunderland
fair,
till I die.
I'd have loved to have seen that documentary last year.
I'm not sure I would have.
Really, considering all that's gone on? Oh, I don't know. I thought that'd be a quality documentary. Michael O'Neill drinking his whiskey Guinness after every game.
Oh, I love him ever since he's come in.
Who doesn't?
Although the guy that I used to share an office with at work, he's from Northern Ireland.
Oh.
So he wasn't happy when
no,
we signed him.
No, I can imagine. No. I'm not sure how they're doing without him now. Because I know he was going to take them to the playoffs, but...
Yeah. I don't know. No. If I see him, I'll ask him.
Yes, please do. I'm sure they're doing worse without him, which is a shame, because we're doing all right.
Yeah, he's been amazing.
Yeah. No, he has. He really has. And we'll add him to the list of good managers rather than people like Paul Lambert and Gary Rowett.
I completely forgot about them.
Oh, well, yeah. We wipe it from our memories. We don't remember those things anymore.
To me, it's just Mark Hughes and then now him.
The rest is a blur. Yeah. A sad, sad blur.
I don't know what happened then.
I don't think even Stoke know what happened then, to be honest with you. Now, I know that you've met a few Stoke players. You mentioned your work before.
Yes.
And I know you've got a story there.
Ryan Shotton coming in to buy a bonsai tree. So I used to work at Trentham Garden Centre. Mm-hmm. That was my Saturday job. Wasn't the best job. literally minimum wage. I think when I first started.
It's a job,
like,
it's a job, right?
£3.72, but it Ooh. got me through life.
it got your Stoke ticket.
Exactly, yeah. So I wasn't working the shift that he came in, but my friend Meg was, who's our age. She went to Newcastle College as well. And yeah, he came in with someone else. I think it was another Stoke player, but I can't remember who it was. I'd have to ask her. but yeah, just came in and brought a bonsai tree. But for some reason, he didn't want to take the bonsai tree with him that day. And we had to stock it in the back for some reason. So I came in for like my Saturday shift and there was like a bonsai tree at the back and it was like reserved for Ryan Shotton. I have no idea why he just couldn't
just
take,
couldn't
it,
take
home.
It home. Well, maybe it didn't fit in his Aston Martin or whatever he was driving.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Probably car issues. His car was too nice to have a plant in it.
Well, this is fair, yeah. So you didn't meet Ryan Shotton then, you met Ryan Shotton's plant. Okay, that's
Indirectly met him.
Indirectly. Hey, you met Potamus though.
Met Potamus, yeah.
You met Potamus.
I have met Shay Given.
Okay.
At Stoke train station. So I was getting the train back to Stoke from London and it was actually my dad who alerted me. My dad was picking me up from Stoke Station and he was having a coffee in the coffee shop there. It's before like they segregated the station so that you had to have tickets to walk into the platform. So he could have waited there. And he messaged me and was like, Shay Given, I think, is on your platform two, when you get off the train. So at this point, I was probably at Stone, so I only had about like 5 minutes. So I made my way to the doors and I was like trying to like have a look and I couldn't spot him. And then I was walking along the platform and I just saw him, went up to him and was like, are you Shay Given? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, can I have a picture with you? I'm like a massive Stoke fan. And he was like, yeah, that's fine. I've got a picture with him. And then I was like, thanks. And just walked off.
So many people have met players at Stoke train station.
Yeah.
I always thought that they were like, you know, always too good for the train, But
I saw a picture of them a few weeks ago. All of them wearing like their masks and gear, waiting on the platform.
Yeah, I always thought that was a bit weird, considering what's going on. That they're just sort of waiting for the train all together, and then other people are taking pictures of them. Like, right, okie dokie.
So you can't really go up to them and have a picture. One, because of social distancing, and two, they're wearing mask.
Yeah. Well, that's a good point. I suppose you wouldn't even be able to tell who it is for some time.
Yeah, could be anyone.
Well, it could be really anyone if you're talking about some of the Stoke players these days. I have no idea who some of them are, bless them.
But I didn't realise how big of a deal Shay Given were to Irish people. So, like, the Northern Ireland guy that I work with, and there's another Irish guy, they're all like, "You met Shay Given? This is amazing. I'm so jealous." And I was like, "Oh, right, yeah." Like, he was just our keeper for a bit.
Well, he was a good Premier League goalkeeper, he was. He was around for a long, long time, and then he come to us, and he was, dare I say it, was he worse than Howard Gard? I think he might have been.
I don't know. I didn't think he was that bad.
I think he was pretty terrible, but bless him. He was at the end of his career. I think Howard Gard was just bad.
So, yeah, I met him, and I also went down to Stoke training ground once to have a nosy, and I met Bojan Muniesa and Peter Crouch as they were driving out and had pictures with them.
Now, I know you've got a lot to say. Yes, I know. You've got a lot to say about those two, haven't you?
I just love them. I think they're mean, especially Muniesa. I love how, you know, even now, he still has so much to give to Stoke fans on Twitter.
Yeah.
Like, he's probably my favourite player just because of his just connection. He just loved the fans, and the fan loved him as well.
And it's so rare to see players like that these days, that even now they seem so distant from us, even though, you know, they're not the biggest names in the world. I really don't know who Liam Lindsay is. I forgot we even have him at a football club, to be honest, sometimes. Yeah. Like, it's ever so strange. And there's people like Bojan and Muniesa and Crouch as well, who just, it feels like they really were part of the cause. And it was great. I know what you mean about Muniesa especially. He really threw himself into it and seemed such a nice bloke.
Yeah. I feel like when all those three were at Stoke, that's like the real Stoke that I connected to. I feel like I knew everyone on the squad. Mm. Whilst now there's names, then I'm like, oh.
Who dis?
Is this someone who we've signed?
Yeah, exactly. No.
I'm not too sure.
You're right. That era was just so good. Even if there was a player that sort of you didn't really know about, like even Ramadan, for example, when we signed in, that was just exciting because we just brought half of Egypt with us.
I remember that. We had our own like Stoke City Egypt page. We did. Like,
we did. I'm pretty sure that's one of our most viewed videos as well.
Oh, gosh.
Ramadan Sobby in training, because, well, obviously half of Egypt watched it and shared it. And
it was a big deal, but yeah, I just didn't.
I actually remember on Twitter when he signed, and I sent a random tweet out about him saying, oh, like, he looks cool for a 19-year-old or whatever he is. And I got retweeted by loads of Egyptian guys, and someone said, oh, look at this Stoke City journalist talking about... And I was like, no, I wasn't even anything at that point. I wasn't even doing bear pit work. I was just a bloke talking about football, and he just called me a journalist. I'm like, mate, calm down. They took it very, very seriously.
Yeah.
Oh, it was good though. It's just mental how players like that put you on the map. Bit of Crouch as well, and then Bojan Muniesa, you know, Barcelona products, and yet they found their home at Stoke. It's ever so strange. It's ever so good though.
And we had Shaqiri as well.
Oh God, don't, you're making me cry. Looks like he's available for transfer. Maybe we'll bring him back.
When he left for Liverpool, I was like, yeah, I've gone off of you now. Bye.
Well, I was off him for the first place. He blocked me on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why.
Forgot about that.
Well, yeah, so did I till the other day when I clicked on his profile and he'd gone.
How rude.
How rude indeed. I didn't do anything.
That's someone who doesn't, not like Muniesa. Muniesa would not block you. He is all for the fans.
Exactly. No, Muniesa wouldn't block me. Muniesa would retweet me, not block me.
He liked one of my tweets when he left Stoke. I tweeted him and was like, I'm going to miss you. And he liked it. And I was like, oh my God.
I reckon you should tweet him now. I reckon we should all tweet Muniesa right now. If you're listening, go tweet Muniesa and see if he likes it.
I miss you.
We all do. I don't know who he's playing for these days.
I'm not too sure.
I know he went to Saudi Arabia or something, or Israel, which was a weird move for him. But, oh well, whatever he's doing. Happy days. I hope he's all right. Anyway, have you got any more stories to tell about before we go for a break?
I'm trying to think of any that I may have missed.
Luckily, this is the magic of podcasting, and I can put them back in if you forget.
Just edit this section in. Yeah.
If you're still listening to this bit, Lish has not thought of anything.
You're going to put that at the end of the podcast.
Oh, yes.
I think I've covered. You've covered. All right. Main bits, I think. Yeah.
In that case, we will go for a break. And last time when I did a podcast, I said I didn't really have a structure to the break format because it was just something I decided that we were going to do because the podcast was going on for ages. But I have actually thought of something to do this time. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask Lish a question now and I'm going to give her the break to think about it and she's going to answer it after the break. So, Lish, your break question is, and like I say, you don't have to answer it now. If you could have been in the dressing room before any Stoke game, what would it have been and why? I'll let Lish think about that and you'll find out the answer after the break. That sounds dead corny.
That was cool. That was epic. Yeah. That's so professional.
So, well, this podcast is not professional, but there we go. See you after the break. And with that, that brings the A-side of File 37 to a close. Now you might be thinking, what's an A-side? Now, I love the format of this show, and I don't want to cut anything out of the interviews that I have with Stoke fans and other members of the Stoke community. However, I think that there's benefits to cutting these interviews in half and releasing them in two parts. One of those being that it's easier to digest being shorter or half the length. I understand that some people don't want to listen to 2-hour long interviews, so cutting them in half makes that easier on some people's time. You also get more regular content too. Rather than me releasing once every 2 weeks or perhaps even longer, I can double that and maybe release one every week. Or thereabouts, of course, depending on how many people I get to interview in a certain amount of time. But also it's a little bit easier on my workload too, so I'm able to edit half an interview and get that out to you. So it's a little bit easier on me as well. And that means I have other time for other projects relating to YYY and other things in my personal life too. So reminiscent of classic vinyls and cassettes and that sort of thing, I'm going to be splitting interviews into an A-side, more of the guests' origins and memories as you see in the first half, and a B-side, more of the guests' present thoughts and opinions plus the Files FC. The B-side will be released a few days after this A-side going live. I'm going to say a week, so make sure you keep an eye on your podcast feeds. Depending on how this new format goes down, there may be a way of reintroducing the full-length format in the future. We'll have to see how that goes. I'll keep you updated. But in the meantime, there's plenty of content in the back catalogue if you haven't listened to that already. Just on a side note as well, I asked you in the last podcast if you wanted to vote me into the Stoke Fan Council because I'd nominated myself to run for it. I'm delighted to say that you actually have voted me into the Fans Council. I'm ever so grateful. Thank you ever so much to anyone who's thrown your support my way or spread the word. I'm truly humbled and surprised to be part of that community. And I'll be doing my best to represent you. I've had my first meeting ahead of the Barnsley game the other day. And I've put some of your guys' ideas forward. And I'd like to think that I'll be part of, you know, a change at Stoke, considering that we're in a pandemic too. I think it's a perfect time to be reintroducing a way of being able to connect fans back to the players, the club, a little bit more than what we are already. And then finally, just a reminder that this show relies on people like you to take part. Head to the YYYFiles.com and click Get Involved to find out more. You can send a message to @theYYYFiles on social media or send an email to theYYYFiles@mail.com if you have any questions. That's just leave me to say thank you very much for listening. Until the B-side, but don't forget, it could be your file one day. Please need to vote you up.
This podcast is a proud member of the Fan Hub 100. Football without fans is nothing, so we've partnered with Fan Hub to put fans first. Search Fan Hub app to play your part in the journey.
Far away from the wild goose chase, my shoulders are so rigid lately. You think I've been wearing a neck brace?
pantomime.